Good morning and welcome to our Thursday morning chapel. We are honored to have a number of guests with us today, and we have the children's choir here from Norseland. So welcome to you. They're going to sing for us during our service. I'd like to make one brief announcement. After our service today, we would like, if you don't mind, to have you stay and pose for just a couple pictures. And we're going to have a photographer come up and take a shot over my back of people as I'm doing the blessing afterwards. So this will be after the blessing is done. So if you really don't want to be in a picture for Bethany, just duck your head down. But anyway, so that will be at the end of our chapel today. We begin our worship then with the singing of hymn 364, verses 1, 3, and 4. Scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 9th chapter, and various verses. While Jesus spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put aside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all that land. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. When I was a young pastor, one day one of my older members came to me. He was probably about 75, close to 80. He had been at one time the vice president of a huge international company. And he was talking to me about things that happened to him when he and his wife were newly married. This had happened probably close to 50 years earlier. And he started talking about a little boy, their son, who had drowned in a river near their house. And as he began talking to me about this and telling me the story, he just burst into tears and started crying. They claim that for parents, the death of a child is one of the most difficult things they ever have to endure. To deal with that loss and that sadness, it kind of flips your world all upside down to have to bury one of your children. It just doesn't seem to be the right way, the way we think life should go. And it shows us how sad things can be in this fallen world at times. You know, our first parents, we are told, had one of their first sons, one of their early boys, be murdered by his brother. And I often wonder, did they get to see Abel's body before it was buried? What was that like for them to suddenly realize that in such a sharp and harsh way what the reality of their sin and rebellion against God had now brought into the world? Exactly what it meant for them in their family life. The son that they had probably known for decades by now. And here he was, dead before them. It's a reminder that this is something that haunts every person in this room out in the horizon of our lives. It's not a pleasant thought. I have had to stand by families of very sick children and be at the bedside of children who were taken way too early in life, and it's agonizing. Everybody in the room wishes they could somehow take this away. Everybody in the room wishes they could take a piece of that pain and just remove it. And yet, here it is, the harsh reality of death. This ruler that we hear about in our text, Jairus, comes to speak to Jesus, and he's gone to the right place. He comes to the only one who really has the power to conquer this problem that his little girl has befallen. And so he approaches Jesus and somehow has come to know him as the Son of God, the Messiah. We're told he came and worshiped him. He recognizes that in Christ is more than just some prophet or person, human being. This is true God, very God of very God. And that he alone would have the almighty power to do something about his little daughter's death. So Jesus now, out of love and compassion for this family, goes to this man's house. And I love this thing in the verse. He passes through the crowd of professional mourners. They obviously had some money. They even hired musicians to express the sorrow that they had, flute players. There was a crowd. Back then, you could actually hire people to mourn the death that you were dealing with in your family. But notice, Jesus comes and he says to all of them, "Make room." It's like he's clearing a path to get to the victim of death. He just moves everybody out of the way, kind of like a highly trained paramedic diver that sees people, a crowd of people standing on the shore, and somebody has drowned and is drowning, and he has to clear a path to get through to perform this great rescue that he's going to do. But then he makes this wonderful declaration about this little girl's death. He says, "She is not dead, but sleeping." That's the divine analysis. That's God's analysis of the situation. She is not dead, but sleeping. And it's an interesting note, isn't it, that it says they ridiculed him. Can you imagine the kind of mockery that went around in the room that day and in the house as he came through and said she's only sleeping? That's how human beings look at death. That's how it controls us. That's how it presses us in. We have no answer for it ourselves, but God, the Son of God, the all-powerful God, he's the one who is able to penetrate through death itself and have the power to defeat it. And so even despite the ridicule of human beings, even today about the resurrection, it doesn't change the fact that God, the Son of God himself, has this power. And so for our comfort, God throughout Scripture sprinkles in little resurrection stories for people of different ages, children, middle-aged people, elderly people, so that at whatever stage of life we are in, there's a little reminder that through Christ and by his power, we have the hope over this horrible enemy of death. And Christ now invites you and me to stare at your future death with nothing but defiance. Listen to what Luther said, Martin Luther. He said, When the devil comes at you and scares you with your death, he says, you should say to the devil, "I have Christ, Satan," even if you should explode upon me with all of hell. And just to show how strong God is over death, all it takes is a couple little words to wake this girl up. The Gospel of Mark tells us Jesus used the words "talitha kum," which simply means, "Little one, get up." And sure enough, she sits up. That's how easy it is for God to defeat death. It's fitting that some of the earliest artwork in the church, in the early Christian church, was painted on the sides of Christian coffins. They would often paint images of the story of Jonah. Isn't that interesting? Who was in the belly of the fish 3 days and then came back out alive. Jesus uses that, of course, as a picture of his own resurrection in the grave for 3 days and came out alive. But they would paint the images of the Jonah story on people's coffins, and sometimes butterflies, which appear to be dead in the cocoon and then come to such beautiful life. It's interesting that, and very fitting that Christians would do that, to go right up to the very thing that carries our bodies, right up to the very box that death will hold us in, and just casually put a beautiful image that reminds us of how easy it is for God to get us out of that box. I want to close with a story about a little girl that was in a church I served. Some of you heard me tell this before. She was about 12 years old, maybe 13 years old, and she hadn't even gone through confirmation all the way yet. And she was, she now had a cancerous brain tumor. In 1 year, she had 7 brain surgeries to try to remove it, but they couldn't. And so this poor little girl was now facing her own death. And one day, her mom called and said, couldn't she possibly come and meet with you today at your office? I said, sure. So they brought her in a wheelchair, and the whole time before, when the mom called to then, I was kind of nervous, and I was thinking, how am I going to talk to this young lady about the fact that she's going to die? I'm sure she's struggling with that, and so on. And as they wheeled her into my office, you could see the effects of chemotherapy on her, and she'd lost a lot of her hair and things. And I said, Heidi, how are you doing with facing that you're going to die? And she said, oh, I'm fine with that. That's no big deal. I don't want to talk to you about my nurse who's pregnant. I want to make sure she baptizes her baby. And I thought, that's what Christ does for us. That's what knowing Christ does for us. That a 12-year-old can stare at her upcoming death and just have no problem with it. And actually be more concerned about someone else's salvation because hers is so absolutely secure. That's what you and I have through Christ and in our baptism and through the Word of God that delivers that wonderful truth to us. Lord, give us such a faith as this. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Today we offer a prayer on behalf of Vice President Daniel Mundell, who is recuperating from surgery to remove a cancerous cyst from his eyebrow and forehead. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you with gratitude for bringing your servant Daniel safely through this procedure. If it is your will, continue to grant him healing and recovery that he may be restored to full and complete health. We thank you for giving us the precious hope of the resurrection through the work of your Son, our Redeemer. Help us to continue clinging to him by faith that we may someday be in your presence forevermore. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace. Amen.